The Lord be with you.
With your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus proposed another parable to the crowd, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds throughout the wheat and then went off. When the crops grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy has done this.' His slave said to him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' He replied, 'No. If you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Last week, as we gathered for our Mass, the Gospel was about the sowing of the seed. This week, already, we've been given the task to get rid of the weeds. The two go together, you know. Every gardener knows that planting seeds is the easy part of gardening. It is much more time-consuming to get rid of the weeds. And it's hard work. Someone once told me that when weeding, the best way to make sure that you're removing the weed and not the valuable plant is to pull on it. If it comes out easy, it's the valuable plant. If it doesn't, it's the weed. Another way of doing that is, somebody told me that to distinguish between the flowers and the weeds, to pull everything, and what grows back are weeds. Sometimes the good and the bad can very easily coexist right beside one another. As a young student, I studied with a religious order called the Missionaries of the Sacred Heart. I studied with that group for 4 years, and one of these years was called a novitiate year, and part of that year involved going to where the order was founded, in a small place called Issedon, in the center of France. I spent 6 weeks of one summer in France, and while I was there, the big news story in France was that a convicted murderer had been recaptured after 7 years on the run. Why was he not captured earlier? Where was he hiding, I hear you ask? Well, on his escape from a court hearing 7 years earlier, he got himself a change of clothes and ended up in a black suit. And his next step was to go to a local community of nuns, a religious community of women, and he offered to give them a week's retreat, and all he asked in return was food and lodging. Now, his retreat must have been quite convincing, because as he neared the end of the retreat, the sisters in that community phoned a neighboring community, recommending that he go there and give a retreat as well. And so, our ex-convict escaped, spent 7 years going from convent to convent, giving the most beautiful of retreats. I wonder, over those 7 years, did he ever give a homily on this gospel passage today about the weeds and the good seed? I doubt if anyone likes to go out and pull weeds. And from today's gospel, I'd say even fewer people would like to be the weed itself that is pulled and thrown on the fire. The weeds, we are told, are those who do evil. But this raises an awkward question. Where does God draw the line? We might all agree that murderers, rapists, adulterers, thieves might be evil. But is that it? On the scale, where does fibbing about your tax returns? Where does gossiping, now I know nobody here would gossip, but where does gossiping come in? What about sins of omission? You know, when you see that your neighbor needs help and you ignore them? Or what about those who give little or nothing to God, despite his great kindness and generosity to them? There was an interesting report some years ago about an event designed for horticultural students in college. The purpose of the task was to get them to recognize and take weeds seriously. As one pundit called it, the World Series of Weeds. The agricultural students from different universities across the US and Canada were competing in being able to recognize weeds when they are tiny and to recommend what chemical would kill them. As the professor said, they need to be able to recognize the weeds when they are tiny, because when the weeds get big enough that anybody could recognize them, it's probably too late to do anything about them. And I thought, there's an important statement. When the weeds get big enough that anybody could recognize them, it's probably too late to do anything about it. How many parents would have been too late in recognizing a weed growing in the life of your young son or daughter? Perhaps a weed like drugs, perhaps the weed of depression, perhaps the weed of mixing with the wrong group of people. Or even, for that matter, as an adult, have you recognized too late that vices like alcohol or gambling or tobacco or some other addiction that has you in its grasp? Or even more likely, a negative attitude, maybe bitterness or resentment or bigotry. We don't talk about these things too much in church because it makes us feel a little bit judgmental. But maybe we should talk more about the weeds that can spoil our Christian community. Lives are still being destroyed. Hearts can still be broken. Relationships torn. And here's the sad thing. The people whose lives are often choked by these weeds are, for the most part, not bad people. They are good people who simply didn't recognize the weed when it was tiny. There is good news, however. In all of this, God is our Savior. You might not think so from today's parable, where God sounds like he's waiting for us to make a mistake and to pull that weed and throw it on the fire. But if you read the parable in this way, that God is a vengeful judge, perhaps you're missing the point. The last thing God wants to do is to destroy us. God makes us mindful of the weeds that are growing in our hearts so that he can save us from them. In a sermon that appeared on the internet by Reverend Samuel Jones, he told about the concept of the recording angel. In the doctrine of some churches, this is the angel that writes down all the bad things that you do in order that God can one day mete out our punishment. It's a disturbing document. Jones tells that a couple who were burdened with a load of guilt from the past made their way one day to a Quaker meeting, and they sat with the others in what seemed to take ages, waiting for something to happen. Finally, an elderly man stood up, and he said, "The most misleading concept in religion is that of the recording angel. I can't believe that God remembers or cares to remember a single incident of our lives. Rather, I am my recording angel. My spirit and my body are the record. My good deeds show in me, and my wrong deeds can never be hidden. My spirit either grows to fullness or can diminish to nothing. God has no need of a recording device. We must not think of God as being vengeful. God has created a more powerful instrument. God has made me. God needs only to look at me, and all is recorded there." The old man goes on to conclude that with God's permission, we have the privilege of erasing our past mistakes. God offers us forgiveness, the opportunity to start afresh and to make our lives useful by forgiving our past sin and opening our lives to God's wisdom. It's a powerful thought. God has no need of that recording angel. Our own bodies and souls tell the story of how we have lived. God, then, is the gardener who wants to pull the weeds from our life. It's not God's will that any one of his children should suffer. God wants to help us, regardless of what mess is in our lives right now. God can turn that mess into a masterpiece. This is the meaning of the cross. God wants us to save us from the power of sin. To many people, the cross is only about getting into heaven. They miss the glory of God's plan and purpose for us. The reason God hates sin is that it hurts his children, you and me. Of all the sins that destroy people, destroy families, destroy relationships, destroy the human potential, God wants to pull them and throw them on the fire. That is what the cross is about. God wanting to restore us to the beautiful creation that God intended for us from the beginning. Our God wishes our world to be restored to the way he had desired it to be. A world without pain or suffering, without hatred or violence, without greed and envy. A world where people love and are loved without being used, without having their hearts broken because of the actions of others. This is the world that God calls us to live in. And we can be sure we live in a broken world. We cannot expect things to be perfect in the world very easily again, but we can make a start in the right direction. And we do that by making our way to the foot of the cross, where we kneel in deep contrition and we ask God to pull any weeds that may be growing in our hearts, even if they're tiny. These may be weeds of bitterness, weeds of envy, weeds of lust. The list goes on and on. You know what weeds are choking your spirit. Give them to God. Let God throw them on the fire and consume them there, because God is our Savior. God is the master gardener of our lives. Let God put the garden of your life in perfect order again. Amen.